Listeners, you know, we often bring you calendar items about local fundraising opportunities. This morning, we're going to discuss a bit of Uber fundraising, I'll call it. In the studio with me is Jim Sparks, a member of the SUNY President's Council of Upstate Medical University and a member of the board of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. He's getting ready to take on a team marathon we need to know about. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Tricia.
So we do talk about fundraisers, but this one is really special to our local chapter of Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, as well as on a national scale. Tell us about it.
Well, this is the 20th anniversary of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's team and training program. Over the course of 20 years, the program has raised over $350 million.
All right, now let's talk about what the team and training is.
Team and training is an endurance sport preparation program that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society started principally as a marathon running organization to raise funds, but now it's extended into, not only marathons in just about every location in the country, but marathons overseas. Dublin, for example, is a big one, but also endurance biking and triathlons.
Wow.
So we have thousands of people that are participating in a number of different events for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Team and Training Program.
So what they do is they get groups of people together to train and then participate in these events that are taking place someplace already scheduled. They are not Leukemia and Lymphoma Society events necessarily, but they're sanctioned by.
That's correct. Okay. With one exception, which is the Nike Marathon, the Women's Marathon in San Francisco, is a partnership between Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and Nike.
All right. But locally here, what that means is a group of you get together and train and then go together to run
That's
in the
correct.
Marathon? Okay. So this is what you're preparing to do now.
It is.
And tell us about it.
It's fun.
Okay.
I'm a distance runner. I've always been a runner. And in 1997, as a board member of Leukemia and Lymphoma Society locally, and as a national board member, I decided this was something I really wanted to do. So I trained for my first marathon in Washington Marine Corps, ran it in honor of a young girl that was a relative of my wife's, and I really enjoyed it. It really surprised me that I would enjoy running 26.2 miles. I did it again in 2001 for my cousin, who was suffering from leukemia at the time. And I'm doing it now for a young man in Syracuse named Cole Lancer, who is a survivor.
And, you know, what I love about this, because I did some research before we met this morning, what I love about this is you really do. You choose a patient who you have in mind as you do your training, and it kind of focuses you.
It sure does focus you.
And, you know, you also made a statement about Cole before we started on the air. Tell me what you said about him, because I think this is very compelling.
Well, if this had been 20 years ago, with the disease that Cole has been treated for and successfully treated for by Upstate and its remarkable team of medical oncologists and staff, I would have been running in Cole's memory instead of running in honor of him.
That just kind of tugs your heartstrings, which then is why people would donate. And this is what you're here for this morning, is to talk about how they can donate to this and sponsor you as a runner and your team, right?
Well, they're sponsoring the runner who solicits them,
yeah.
But they're really sponsoring the medical research and patient aid that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society provides.
Right,
and
millions of dollars in research money every year.
Millions of dollars. On an average, the number of marathons that we put people into each year will raise in the range of $60 to $75 million.
That's incredible.
Nearly 80% of which goes back to the mission of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, which is patient aid and medical research.
Fabulous. So you'll be running in this marathon in Washington with your team. How can people donate to you?
They can donate to me in a couple of different ways. They can go to my website,
okay.
which we have created.
It's a long name, so rather than try to give it, we're going to put a link on our HealthLink on Air website. But they can also contact the local Leukemia and Lymphoma Society as well?
Yes, they can, and okay. They can find out how to reach me or get a pledge card from the local chapter.
Okay, very good. Now, they can do that. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society is lls.org.
That's correct.
Online. Or I have a phone number here, 471-1050. They can call and get information about running and about donating?
That's correct. They can.
Okay.
We'd love to have more people join the team from the Syracuse Central New York chapter.
Okay. And you really have a tie to that chapter, more than just running in the marathons, don't you?
Yeah, I certainly do. It goes back to 1991 when I was asked to raise a fundraiser by a friend of mine that was an oncologist.
Mm-hmm.
I'd participated in the Ernie Davis dinner, and one thing led to another, became a board member and served on the national board for 6 years, and I'm still affiliated with the chapter. It's a wonderful organization.
That's great. Well, Jim Sparks, I thank you so much for coming by this morning. We've learned more about this marathon and the fundraising for Leukemia and Lymphoma, and I hope plenty of people will log on and sponsor you.
Thanks for helping us out, Tricia.
Well, Well, this week there was a celebration in Binghamton that translates into good news for SUNY Upstate and New York State in general. Have you ever seen that castle on the hill in Binghamton? Well, you may not know that it's the New York State Inebriate Asylum, and this week marked its 150th anniversary. Of course, inebriate is the old-fashioned Latin-based term for someone who's always drunk and, as we know now, probably alcoholic. The so-called asylum, later to become a psychiatric hospital, has been closed since 1993 but was very well maintained. Earlier this year, SUNY Upstate announced plans to repurpose the building for medical education in the Southern Tier. Upstate has been sending medical students to Binghamton for clinical training for the last 32 years. There are currently 80 medical students training with 140 physicians in the Binghamton area. Tune in for more news on Upstate's plans for the Binghamton Castle, and be sure to check our HealthLink On Air website for photos of the celebration. And there's another piece of good news for New York State, especially its rural areas, which are in great need of more physicians. Recently, SUNY Upstate made a promise that all else being equal, more students would be accepted from New York State. Last year, 49% of Upstate's medical students came from New York State. This year, 81% of Upstate's first-year medical students are from New York, and 26% of those from rural communities. Educating more students from New York State who are more likely to return home will mean a lot for the future of our region's health care.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. Ignoring the weird and discovering the admirable, or 20-1 makes me and us happy. Lately, I've been interested in what makes relationships go better. This past weekend, I went to Wisconsin to visit some of my favorite people, my uncle, aunt, cousins, and their kids. I've been visiting there for years, since I was little, and I always leave feeling better about myself and life in general, despite the fact that we have many big differences, religion, politics, values on education, abortion, money, raising kids, even movies sometimes, and clothes. And let's not forget I'm a psychologist, so we can look a little weird to each other. Now, you may know that decades of marriage research has shown that good, lasting relationships are built on having at least 5, and preferably as many as 20, positive communications for every one negative. But specifically, what were we doing? I put on my researcher hat to discover. First, the obvious and important, we made time just for each other. My wife and I flew there from Syracuse, and they drove in from all around. And once we got there, it wasn't one thing, but just like the research says, a relentless barrage of positives. Not much unusual. Smiling hello agains with kisses and hugs, thanks for coming, asking about work and families with genuine interest, and answering with genuine feeling. Really listening to each other. My aunt got a birthday cake for her son, and remembering that my wife's is the same day, put her name on the cake too. And no TV, none for 4 days. Instead, sitting with each other, playing cards, filling each other in, saying sorry about the sad events, congratulations about the good. Thinking back, I don't remember anyone saying a negative word to me. But something that felt extra special was when we came across something we didn't agree on, with a temptation to talk negative, we'd go beyond the initial superficial weirdness we'd found, keep talking with respect, committed to finding the admirable in the weirdness. And we'd let the respect and admiration flow with a wow or a look. So when we said goodbye, it was with a hug a few moments longer than usual, saying, "Yeah, you're a little weird, but I love you anyway." I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.